and welcome to We Dig Plants on Heritage Radio Network. We are Groundworks, Inc. I am Alice Marcus Krieg.
And I'm Carmen DeVito.
And we are a design, installation, and maintenance firm here in New York City. We design gardens. And today on Heritage Radio Network, we're broadcasting from two shipping containers in Bushwick, Brooklyn, located next to Roberta's Pizza at 261 Moore Street. We Dig Plants is produced by Jack Inslee and engineered by Nat Wiener. We bring the culture to horticulture, and in doing so, we have an amazing friend and guest today, longtime plant personality, Bob Hyland of Loomis Creek Nursery. Now, if you don't yet know Loomis Creek, it's high time you did. Loomis Creek is located 100 miles north of New York City and about 35 miles south of Albany in the town of Hudson in the beautiful Hudson Valley. And Loomis Creek specializes in really unique, gorgeous perennials. So Bob started Loomis Creek with his partner, Andrew Beckman, in 2005 after a distinguished career as vice president of horticulture and operations at Brooklyn Botanic Garden.
One of our favorite places.
Yes. He also held managerial positions at Longwood Gardens and at the San Francisco Botanical Garden. Bob is a garden designer, writer, and an extraordinary plantsman. His partner, Andrew, is the garden editor for Martha Stewart Omnimedia. And Andrew trained at Longwood Gardens in Pennsylvania and has hosted a gardening radio program on Cirrus Radio called Homegrown for 3 years now. And like every good gardener in search of land to cultivate, Andrew and Bob grew tired of city gardening and moved north, where they have a gorgeous piece of property in which to grow their splendid perennials. Welcome, Bob.
Thanks for having me here.
So we wanted to talk with you today, Bob, about how you started your nursery and about the perennials that you grow and carry. So what was the inspiration?
So let me just say, too, though, that we've actually kind of broadened the palette.
Oh,
we started off as predominantly a perennial nursery, but because of my love of woody shrubs, we probably now, if you know, you kind of looked at the percentage of our inventory, we're probably 70% perennials, 20% woody shrubs.
Okay.
Four-season.
Great.
Multi-season interest. And the other 10, 15% is temperennials, annuals.
Temperennials.
Call them what you will. Yeah. They're annuals in zone 5.
Right. Ah, you're in zone 5.
Zone right. 5.
So what was the inspiration for Loomis Creek?
So the inspiration, both Andrew and I have always shared, and where do these kind of dreams come from, you know, as you kind of look at what you want to do in life.
From too much concrete
from
around
too
you.
Too much concrete, but I haven't always lived in a city environment. Yeah, right. My years here in Brooklyn, but even Brooklyn is so green compared to,
sure,
you know, Manhattan. I didn't live in Manhattan.
Yeah. Right.
And I lived in San Francisco, which mm-hmm. is a pretty green city,
which
pretty
is a,
low architectural yeah. profile, mm-hmm. you know, when you get away from the downtown area.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always kind of been about gardening. I was in Wilmington, Delaware, you know, a
right.
small-scale city, went all the years that I worked at Longwood Gardens.
Well, that's like the basket of horticulture
exactly.
in the United States. Yeah.
Yeah. So the probably the inspiration for nursery, you know, as I started to think about this, it's a good question. Because Andrew has never spent any time in the San Francisco Bay Area gardening, mm-hmm. my inspiration was a great nursery about an hour and a half north of San Francisco called Western Hills Nursery
mm-hmm.
in Occidental, California.
Mm-hmm.
And the model was these two great gardeners, great personalities, lived, developed a garden around them, and also a nursery.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they lived, they breathed gardening.
Mm-hmm.
24/7. That's, we like 24/7 now.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's how White Flower Farm started, Bob.
And exactly.
You know?
White
and
they Flower Farm. There were other models like
yeah,
this.
Yeah, they weren't even plantsmen such
no,
as yourself.
Right.
They were writers. Right. They were writers for the right. New Yorker.
Right. They learned to be plantsmen.
Right. Right. And then, of course, I have colleagues. I think you know. I know Dan Hinckley.
Mm-hmm. Roach.
Tony Avent, mm-hmm. Plant Delights Nursery.
Right.
Both
North
he and
Carolina.
I went to yeah. NC State University
yeah.
and were, you know, proteges of the late Dr. J.C. Ralston.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that whole sort of plant that sort of plant geek, plant nerd, you know, just immersed yourself in plants. You know, right. It's always been with me.
Right.
And
so did you grow up interested in gardens?
I always had a garden. My grandfather had a great vegetable garden. And maybe, you know, when you ask this question of anybody, it harkens back to some 3, 4, 5-year-old experience that you had in a garden. And I just remember walking through the pole bean teepees, you know, that my grandfather grew, you know, and it just was a magical world. Yeah. And that probably is where it started.
Yeah. Right. So walk us through a typical year at the nursery.
But there is no such thing as a typical year.
Especially not this year. If this year is typical, I'm quitting.
You know, Mother Nature. You know, we sort of have the four seasons. But, you know, generally January, February, you know, we'll just start off with the calendar years. January, mm-hmm. February, ordering. Mm-hmm. You know, I run a trade show here in Brooklyn at
Plantarama.
Plantarama, which is a Metro Hort Group, Brooklyn Botanic Garden partnership, mm-hmm. for the professional trade here in the city.
Right.
But, you know, gearing up, planning, and then it all, you know, all hell breaks loose come March when all of the things that you have ordered start arriving on your doorstep.
And you're like, oh my God, I think I overordered.
Yeah, kind of. And you had asked the question, we grow probably 50, 60% of our inventory from plugs and liners, so starter plants.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Andrew loves to scour Seedlist, you know, mm-hmm. the Royal Horticultural Society, the RHS, the mm-hmm. North American Rock Garden Society, mm-hmm. Ginny Hunt Seedlist, you know, places out of England.
Right.
And he loves to dabble. I don't have the patience for sowing seed, and my fingers are too big. He always yells at me because, you know, I lose patience very quickly.
Yeah.
No. And he loves that sort of moving things up slowly out of, you know, seed pots and kind of nurturing them. I'm all about...
I'm with you. Like,
yeah. I like to speed up the process a little bit.
Yeah. And have success. That's how I feel.
But you also realize something you learn as quickly as a small business owner. You have to be ready when the gardening public is ready. You know this as well as I do.
Yeah.
You know, here it is. Here we are, kind of the middle of March, but mm-hmm. we're having a 60-degree day.
Right. And everybody's I want my herbs now.
Exactly.
Right.
Can I get my basil now? Do you have tomatoes? Do you have heirloom tomatoes yet?
Why not? I'm tapping my Prada shoe.
Well, especially this year because the winter was so harsh, people really, Alice and I always describe it as being shot out of a gun, in April.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
And the window, it's sort of like retail, it's like the holiday season. If you don't make it in April, May, and June.
Right. You're screwed.
Yeah.
In the vernacular. Yeah. So what are your most unusual perennials?
That's a difficult question. You know, for those of you who may have shopped at the old Heronswood Nursery, Dan Hinckley's, where, you know, and even people like Tony Avon from Plant Delights, who are out there actively plant hunting mm-hmm. and looking for new plants to introduce into the trade. Ours is more reality based. We're a regional retail nursery. We are not a mail order nursery. Mm-hmm. So we really have to sort of balance. It's a balancing equation. Mm-hmm. You know, we have to make a living at it.
Right. And you have to give the public what they want.
Give them what they want. You know, you try to teach them and bring them along with you. Mm-hmm. Our byline, you know, we dig plants is mm-hmm. your kind of motto. Mm-hmm. Ours is Loomis Creek Nursery, great plants for adventurous gardeners. And we really try to get people to be adventurous.
Right,
you know?
And to try.
Just because you've read a piece of information or your friend said, oh, that's not hardy here in Zone 5. You may just have the right microclimate. You may, you know, you may be close to the Hudson River. We have I have many clients who, you know, I call it the banana belt, but, you know, the influence of water.
Right.
If it keeps it, you know, 5 degrees warmer, mm-hmm. you may get away with growing certain plants that I can't even grow 5 miles away.
Exactly.
So, yes, Alice and I discovered that as well. Plants don't conform to our rules.
No.
Do you know what I mean? We say we put them in the zone category, but some of them don't care.
Yeah.
You know, and they will survive. We had we planted a Rosa Banksia lutea.
Right, which you wouldn't expect to be hardy, right?
No, not even here. Yeah. It has already survived 3 Brooklyn winters. So,
yeah.
So I agree with you that to be adventurous is important, to push the envelope, and not otherwise we would all have hostas and daylilies in our garden.
Exactly.
You know?
White impatience.
Right. You know, and as Tony Avent, you know, I'll use Tony Avent and Dan Hinckley over and over again, you know.
Right.
But as I think Tony's line is, you know, if I haven't killed a plant four times, I haven't tried enough, or, you know, something akin to that. You know, keep trying it in a different location.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think about P.A. Udoff and, you know, all of these great new introductions that he's bringing?
You know, that's,
you
know,
sell any
I think
of
one
those?
Of your questions was describing my personal, you know, sort of garden style.
Right.
And it is very, I've always, it's naturalistic. It's kind of the place. I'm mm-hmm. in Columbia County, New York, which, you know, you've described as 100 miles north of the city, but it's a very rolling, picturesque county.
Mm-hmm.
Some people say it reminds them very much of parts of England, the British Isles.
Right, right.
Pasture land. There's mm-hmm. a lot mm-hmm. of farming going, farming, a lot of right. agriculture, orchards.
The history there is incredible.
And the history is incredible.
Right.
So right. where are we going with this?
I've P.A. Udoff.
Oh. So ornamental grasses, I've always embraced, and perennials, mm-hmm. and that sort of naturalistic design and being adventurous. So mm-hmm. I sort of love what he's been doing.
Right. We had a client and a landscape architect that we were working with last year that kept insisting on Phlomas. Phlomas, Phlomas, Phlomas. Well, I had to get it from California.
You probably had to get it from Annie's Annuals.
Digging Dog Nursery.
Another, they're good friends of ours as well.
And they were beautiful. Yeah. And it ended up to be a wonderful performer.
And actually, I've been overwintering some Phlomas that people have said, definitely not hardy in Zone 5. So, you know, again, we may have a winter that takes them out, but if I get 3 years of enjoyment out of them,
I
mean, if you think about it, if you're paying $15 or $20 for a plant, right, how many years do you
expect to get out of it?
I mean, you're going to spend $20 for a hanging basket of impatience, to put it in perspective, Bob, right?
Right.
So you want your perennial to last for decades?
Right.
It's just not fair and reasonable.
And how much money do you spend on your underwear? No, that's what I have to say.
Well, I'm not answering that question.
Unfortunately, we have to take a break.
On that note,
we'll be right back to talk more with Bob Hyland.
Hi, welcome back to We Dig Plants on the Heritage Radio Network. We are speaking with Bob Hyland with Loomis Creek Nursery in Hudson, New York. Bob, tell us a little bit about some of the events that you have planned for this year at the nursery. I know you co-sponsor some with Margaret Roach, is that right?
Right, yeah. Actually, this is a new initiative and venture for us. We've dabbled with doing our own workshops. I've taught some things. Andrew, my partner, Robert, who is our sort of has been with us the last 7 years. But Margaret Roach and I have been longtime colleagues here in the city. And Margaret, of course, the editor-in-chief, executive vice president at Martha Stewart Living OmniMedia. But mm-hmm. 3 years ago now, I think, it's hard to imagine it's 3 years already.
Yeah.
Left her position to actually go full-time gardening. She's had a weekend home in Columbia County in Copaic Falls, which is on the eastern side of our county, mm-hmm. and has been there for 23 years, something like that.
Yeah.
Well before it was fashionable.
And she's still writing.
And she's still writing. She really wanted to devote full time to writing. And writing, she's working on some books, some published printed books.
Good.
But she certainly embraced the new way of communication,
mm-hmm.
blogging.
Internet.
Twitter, Facebook, you know, social media, the new way, you know, and she's developed a great blogging, mm-hmm. Gardening blog site.
Yeah, we follow her blog, awaytogarden.com.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Margaret's a great writer, mm-hmm. you know.
well, I mean,
her, in-depth research. Yeah. She's, you know, very thorough and thoughtful and methodical followers. And a lot of followers yeah. in a very short period of time.
Yeah. Yeah.
But she also has a very personal tone. It
has
as
a very
well.
Personal tone.
That's
because
what makes
she's,
it great.
You know, she's right there. It's based in yeah. her garden, which is sort of the model for a nursery. It's all, you know, as much as sometimes I hate it when I'm in season because you can never escape.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I really in, you know, like June, I want to oh, get yeah. in my car and drive home.
Screaming.
Which is actually just, you know, 100 feet yeah. walk down yeah. the road.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there is something quite magical about that too, yeah. because so these courses that we're doing, Margaret and I, we team taught a couple of things, mostly on container design and mm-hmm. Growing plants artfully in containers last year, mm-hmm. met with wild success. So we're doing more, and we're trying some things between Margaret's garden and the nursery. So
good.
On April 17th, we're doing sort of, you know, the start up to the season, mm-hmm. you know. Just tricks of the trade, all the things that we know as professionals that we might do. And right. everybody has a slightly different approach to right. the same task. Mm-hmm. So, and Margaret and I often have the same approach, but sometimes it's very different. And we're going to share that sort of knowledge hands-on, starting in her garden. And then you'll have a lovely 20-minute drive across Columbia County towards the Catskill Range to mm-hmm. our nursery, where we'll pick it up and we'll talk more about plants and plants used in a garden setting as well.
Right. Do you have a favorite that you're most excited about for this year?
Don't you just hate that question?
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Well, what plants do you want people to buy?
Yeah.
Let's rephrase that.
Well, we can talk about the plants that seem to, it's like, do we need yet another yes. coneflower cultivar?
Yeah, exactly.
The things that, you know, have been popularized in trade magazines, in garden general garden magazines. So coneflowers, do we need another heuchera? Or do you say huchera? You
yeah,
know,
right.
it's
right.
like...
Do we
right.
need another hosta?
Another right. hosta.
Right. But Tony Advent says we do.
exactly. If it has a good name, and Tony yeah. always puts good names on his hostas.
His catalogs are so hilarious.
Hoot, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Even if you're like, not into plants, it's really fun.
He'll get you into plants. Those
yeah, hosta outhouse or something yeah. like that. You know, how can you not? Yeah. You know that's one of our guiding philosophies. If a plant has a great cultivar name, mm-hmm. like Hemerocallis Cinderella's Dark Side, mm-hmm. how could yeah. you not want that plant,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
You know, Cinderella's Dark Side.
You need to live with that. Yeah.
Yeah, because for too many years, I think there are some really bad names. No creativity put yeah. into it. Like I was always like, who's naming these? And then last year we did, there was a coleus called Texas Asphalt
yes,
or something.
Texas yeah. Parking Lot.
Yeah. Texas Parking Lot. And yes. I love that name.
Yeah. And you remember it.
And you know what? I did remember it.
Mm-hmm. Right. And somebody found that in a Texas parking lot. So it became the cultivar name instead of trying to dream up something creative.
Right. Instead of Mrs. McGillicuddy's.
But
like,
what we're seeing also, but this will get me on a soapbox, the, sort of the trademarking of names.
Yeah.
That plant name will, you know, Texas parking lot will find some trademark.
Oh,
name.
It's got a TM next to you it, know, I'm sure. Yeah.
You know, I'm always sort of like, as I look through catalogs these days and actually now are paying royalties on all these trademarks
oh, yeah. right.
for the plugs and liners that I buy.
Right.
You know, you look at a plant and you go, I've been growing that plant for 20 years, mm-hmm. you know, and maybe now it has a slightly different name and a TM after it. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
You know, here's
well, it's
here
like
I
Monsanto
am,
my, knocking
know,
at your
exactly.
door.
No, it's yeah. I know what you're saying, Bob, but, you know, when you read horticultural history and when you read about those, you know, amateurs in the right. literal sense that bred irises for 30 years and never.
I'm all for giving them, you know, for rewarding their work and, you know, yeah. because it does take. Most of the time, years of investment.
And what do they say? It's 10 years for a plant to come to market?
To come to market,
right?
You know, in a big way.
Mm-hmm. Can you explain a little bit about that for our listeners? I mean, just quickly.
Well, I think it's part of the hybridizing and breeding program and then trial and testing things, mm-hmm. which actually I think we're erring on the side of not trialing and testing.
Oh, like plants. Rushing to the market fast.
Rushing to the market faster.
Right.
So, and particularly rushing to the market, you know, plants may have been bred in different parts of the country mm-hmm. where, you know, growing conditions are markedly different. Mm-hmm. So if you've not planted that and trialed the plant in a mid-Hudson Valley climate,
right.
we don't know how it's going to perform.
Right. Right.
right? Mm-hmm. But people or see these things popularized yeah. and
in magazines and media.
And,
right.
In media.
Yeah.
So who do you think are the trendsetters now, Bob, to deviate a little bit from our question list? Who do you think are the garden trendsetters now? I know Martha Stewart for many years was, and
will Bob continue. Hyland in his career.
Yeah, in a much smaller.
But I mean, in terms of for the general public, who do you think, who should people watch for now in terms of trends?
That's a great question. So anybody come to your mind, though, that, you know? I mean,
well,
we certainly
Udoff,
have we certainly have the Dutch and the Germans,
right?
And we still look to England. I mean, are there any personalities from England though who jump right into your mind right now?
Well, at the when you look at the Chelsea,
Dan Pearson, we had Dan. You know, I helped the one of the Garden Conservancy,
Fritz Haig.
Yeah. Right. So there are some people out there,
and
I
when
mean,
you
some
pay
designers, some plantsmen,
right?
Roy Lancaster, out of England.
And who's the woman out in California? Andrea Corcoran or something?
Andrea Cochran.
She's a great designer.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you still have the Rick Darks of the world. You have the John Greenlee. You know, I'm thinking of the grass guys. Yeah. You know, but Rick Dark is more...
That's a great name. Rick Dark.
Somebody's going to name a plant after him.
Yeah.
Probably a coolie.
But as far as, you know, I've had this question before. What kind of sort of compelled us and inspired us to start this small-scale specialty nursery, although we're not mail order.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you get sort of this national, international reputation.
Right,
but interestingly enough, the first piece of advice that Dan and Tony Avon both gave to Andrew and me was, don't do mail order if you don't have to.
Dan Hinckley and Tony Avon.
Yeah, because... It really is, it layers on a whole nother business model on top of what you really, really have the passion for.
Mm-hmm.
Then it becomes all about the handling and the packaging of the plants.
And the customer
and
service.
And the customer service, because once that plant leaves your
I'm
hands.
I'm in zone two, and I don't understand why this isn't working.
And then you're at the mercy of the carriers.
Right.
So UPS, Parcel Post,
and
how
weather.
That plant is handled.
Right.
Yes, and we've all, you know, we've all ordered mail order, and you get your favorite ones because you find people that know how to ship plants
And ship a plant that has more than, you know, I've often joked with Dan Hinckley about this. There were years in those, it's like I'd call up Dan or I'd think of calling up Dan and saying, so does this, how many root hairs does this plant, this cutting have on it, you know?
Is it rooted? Is it
rooted? Yeah.
No, it's true. I've ordered, well, one of my favorite mail order sources, because it's hard to find a large assortment of roses locally. That's one of the challenges of local nurseries here, at least on the wholesale level. Is Heritage Antique Rose Emporium in Texas, and they ship not bare root but potted roses, and they always we're always successful with them. They have a way of packing them and handling them that you know allows the customer to feel successful.
Right.
David Austin does a good
And you talked about you mentioned Digging Dog Nursery. They ship a really hefty. Most of their inventory is perennial, but they ship a well-rooted hefty. You know, they know how to package. They know how to cut it back if it needs to be cut back before it's shipped.
It's just so scary.
It's really all in the packaging then.
Well, but that's
the whole, you know, I want to employ a whole bunch of people to
be unwrapping? Yeah. Yeah.
The answer was no. But that then sort of limits your business model.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've come to terms with the fact that we are a regional retail nursery.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of a different business model and a different sort of market, you know.
Well, I think people can get, you know, a more substantial plant, obviously, that way, you know, for the retail customer. I mean, White Flower Farm, they were on our show last week, and their motto kind of is the right plant at the right,
time.
They really have to figure out when. I mean, I bet, you know, 50% of their staff is devoted to, you know, operationally.
Well, I just called them to try and get some Casablanca lilies shipped down to Tennessee because I'm going to be down there, and they won't ship yet.
And they won't ship
because of
because
the weather.
It's the weather, right.
Yeah.
Right. And so they're at the mercy of the weather.
Yeah. Right. So I was happy. You know, I mean, I'm irritated that I can't get them, but I was happy that they didn't go ahead and send them to me.
Before they were really ready.
Exactly. So what do you think the future then for Loomis Creek is looking like? What do you want to focus on?
Well, you know, I think we've come to some terms with the size and the volume of business that we'll do and how much business can, you know, two people, I mean, basically I'm sort of driving the business day to day and also the design piece of our business, which I have to kind of grow slowly and selectively because I'm one designer.
Right, right.
But the other thing that happens, you know, we all have a web presence, you know, and we have a nice new website that actually Margaret Roach helped us design. It's blogging software, but it's a web. And people just assume now when they're sort of, you know, on the internet and cruising that if you have a web presence, you ship plants, that you are mail order.
Right.
So you put your plant list and your inventory up there, and I constantly get, can you send Nicosia and Immutabilis to Kansas in November?
Yeah.
You know, on top of it. So it's, you know, we try to, it's a hard balancing act.
Yeah. You
know?
Yeah. Because like you want to keep your customers.
You have to have a web presence.
Yes.
These days.
And you want to be an authority. You want to...
I mean, we have a very active, growing newsletter and online community. You can subscribe right on our website. Can we say what our website is?
Oh, yeah. Yes, please.
And we'll put a link to your site.
It's Loomis Creek, L-O-O-M-I-S, creek.com.
Good.
An easy one.
Yeah, you know? And we're going to put a link to that.
Okay, great.
From our fan page.
And I do a little, you know, it's all in the marketing thing. I do a plant of the week pitch to the people who subscribe to the newsletter. It's a short and sweet thing with a nice image, and it's a plant that has merit and value, at least in from my viewpoint and my estimation. So
good. Well, I think we're kind of chunking down on the time, but if you could give
I didn't really answer where are we in 10 years?
Huh? Yeah, okay. Let's go.
Well, in 10 years, 2 minutes.
Okay.
10 years might be the end of the ride. You know, it's not forever. Nothing in life is forever. And, you know, I started this venture later in life than most people who start a mail order retail nursery.
Right.
You know, I'm approaching a significant milestone, you know, this year.
Wink, wink, nod, nod.
So maybe another, you know, maybe that's enough. And I'll have enjoyed, you know, sort of the vision and the dream. And
I think we've been Fritz at Atlantic Nursery.
Yeah. He just keeps ticking.
Stop it, Carmen.
Just teasing.
No, you'll go on.
Hope I'm still capable. And
he's very spry.
Know, he's very spry and look as good as Fritz does, you know, when I'm.
Or you'll be hunting with Dan Hinckley in tropical, great places.
Totally new adventure will. You know,
or just having a damn good margarita with
just
mint,
have a damn,
or
right,
you know.
Right. But there is something to be said for walking out your door and having 25 acres.
Yeah,
you know,
that's a dream.
That was really a dream that I never thought that I would have. And,
right,
you know,
it and you just, did it.
We did it. We took the leap and we did it.
Loomis Creek Nursery.
Loomis Creek Nursery.
In Hudson, New York.
Starting our 8th year.
I know.
Thank you. We're starting our 8th year.
We are.
Are you really? Wow, great.
For design, yeah.
And we have some of the same challenges, Bob, too. How big can you grow and still manage it and give the service and the quality that you want? Right. That's the thing,
That's the thing.
And being selective about the customers and figuring out your identity.
And explaining that to new customers that, no, I really can't, you know, and it's not like you don't want to, but you really, to be fair to them, you can take on, you know, it's just, it's a hard balancing act.
Right.
I think any small business, whether it's, you know, plant related, it's not always an easy haul. You have to be fluid, creative, keep reinventing
flexible,
and keep moving with the times.
Like a good perennial bed.
You bet, you bet.
And any good garden, keep on changing, right?
Dig and divide.
That's right. Well, thank you so much, Bob, for being our guest. And we'll have to have you on again to talk more, maybe in the fall.
Yeah.
We could do something.
Yeah, maybe,
again.
Bob, we can get people to understand that there are two planting seasons instead of just one.
That's
I have a real issue with that.
Fall is for planting?
How long
has the nursery industry been trying to push this?
Why don't people get it? Do you know why?
I don't get it.
All right, guys.
Well, we'll talk about it in the fall.
That's a whole nother show, right?
Next show, Bob.
Thank you so much. Loomis Creek Nursery, Bob Hyland. We'll put a link on our Facebook fan page.
Great.
Thank you so much for listening. We Dig Plants.
Thank you.
HeritageRadioNetwork.com. Thanks to Nat Wiener for engineering, Jack Inslee for producing, and Roberta's Pizza for hosting. And we'll see you soon. Happy gardening.
See you in the garden.